Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh, Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game.
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Float game for the win. Touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop!
Oh. Now, here, Jim Coyle.
The cream of the crop is about to rise to the top this Monday as the college football playoff national championship with the Indiana Hoosiers and Miami Hurricanes comes to a head. Jim Coyle, welcome in. Appreciate you being with us on this Wednesday. Indiana Sports Beat Radio, no matter where and how you're listening. Appreciate everybody everywhere. If you're following us along on social media, YouTube and the like, you know what to do. One, two, you know what to do. Hit the like button. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Appreciate our peeps down in Southwest Indiana, Evansville. 97.7 ESPN, the ref, always the right call. Up in Fort Wayne on Fort Wayne Sports Station, 1380 The Fan. The voice of the region, 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, WJOB, and the home court. The sports, the sports station in Bloomington. 97.7. Or 98.7, rather. The zone. Sorry about that. Too many numbers. WWZ, and make sure you lock it where you got it right now. Keep it locked all day. Keep it locked all day. It's been mild. It's January, people. It has been mild. It's not bad. I mean, 40s, we'll take it, right? It's January. Not going to complain. Of course, I'll be honest with you, I'm heading towards Miami on Friday. And looking forward to that, although it's not going to be hot. I think high of like 72, which, again, ain't nobody complaining. There's a 48-hour flash sale, using the code ON3CFP20 for $20 off of, I'm holding a football in my hand right now that is from Big Game USA. It's got the Adidas logo on it, CFP 2026, and the IU logo on it. The Hoosier.com right now has a flash sale. If you go there, you get $20 off of this thing, and it's special because it commemorates what I expect to be is going to be a national championship. But you can smell the leather. The real leather. I mean, it is nice. But I want to throw it. It feels really good and tacky. Good catching ball. Good throwing ball. Damn it. But can't mess those up. But you go to BigGameUSA.com. And I'll get that up on the screen here. But just go to BigGameUSA.com, /competitive-footballs. You'll find it. Just type in IU CFP. It's you know what to do. You know what to do. Speaking of the Hoosier.com, if you're not a subscriber, man, you are missing out on keeping up with all of the transfer portal action that is going on. is the Hoosiers restocking the shelf, the cupboard for next year in a big way with some big-time players that are coming in. We'll talk about Indiana basketball, although they took the L last night. But, yeah, man, Tulsa transfer, defensive tackle. Oh, the big wide receiver from Michigan State. Just big-time guys coming in. And got to raise the level. It's going to raise the level. I thought Moonshine Sales already commit to Indiana? I cannot remember. I guess not. He's setting a return visit, though. Five-star from Lawrence North. He's got to be the first five-star commitment ever to Indiana. That just happens, I think. We'll see. We shall see. But lots going on right now as Indiana heading to Miami on Friday. They land that evening. We will be there. I will be there to greet them. I'll bring all of that to you. I may do it live. I've never done a YouTube live. I mean, the show is, I guess, every day, but that's different. But I try to bring everything I can to you guys. Besides the show, besides here at the radio show, that's right. You go to your Indiana Sports Beat radio on YouTube, and you'll see tons of interviews. I've got a lot of interviews with Mark Cuban from last week. He was very great, very gracious with his time, unbelievably gracious. He was just super, super genuine. I mean, you believe what he's saying without question. He's enjoying the hell out of himself. And why not? He's already done it once as a owner of the Dallas Mavs, but he's seeing the reality of championships here, baby. And it's actually more fun, I think, for him to be a part of this because he's not an owner. It's not about having any control whatsoever. It's just being a part of, and he said it, being a part of greatness. We didn't hear all of the stuff that I have with him. And I probably need to play more of it because it was just really great to listen to him. I don't know if this one got played.
We were talking to IU legend Adewale Ogunle, and I talked to him, and he was very appreciative of what you've done to help the program. And what does it mean for you to know that those guys really appreciate you just being a part of this?
I mean, it's great, don't get me wrong, and the fan accolades are great, don't get me wrong, but, you know, just when you're around greatness and you have a chance to participate with an organization that's special, it's just fun to be part of. I mean, I don't care. You know, interviews, no interviews, whatever. Just watching it. And when it's a team I grew up with, basically, from the time I was 18 years old, to be part of this, wow. Just wow. And, you know, I'm glad people appreciate it, but what it gives me is far more than anything I could give to IU. No one would know who the hell I am if it weren't for Indiana University. Everything I've accomplished started at IU. And so anything I can do to give back, I'm going to do to give back.
Wow. Just wow. How about that as a commercial for Indiana? I mean, I could have stopped that thing at so many different places and it would have been great right there. And what a commercial for Indiana. No one would know who the hell I am if it weren't for Indiana University. Bam. Stop. Just on and on. So gracious, great. You love to see that. I also, let's see, I'll wait till a little later, but we'll hear from Adewale Ogunle. He's retired, 11-year NFL veteran, an IU legend, Hall of Famer. But he spoke to Mark Cuban as well down there. Some other players did, Keyshawn from last year and a couple other guys. But we've got lots more coming up. Glad to have you along. Back with more right after these. Keep it locked where you got it. No flipping. No flipping, as Larry Sanders used to say. That's right. No flipping. No flipping. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Wednesday. That means a visit from our friend Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette, who traveling, man, he's a traveler. He comes down for, I'm not going to say every game, but most games, whether it's football or basketball, from Fort Wayne, drives down to Bloomington, puts those miles in. Good job, my friend. You're doing a good job. He was out in Pasadena and down in Atlanta. Atlanta was easy. That's an easy one. That's just a hill for a mountain climber like yourself. Next up, Miami, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be there. I'm leaving on Friday. So I'll get there Friday night and see the team arrive, and then be there Saturday morning when we have availability with basically everybody. So looking forward to talking to everybody, seeing taking the temperature of the team, seeing how they're feeling and all of that. But yeah, really looking forward to it. It'll be 3 trips in a month. Really excited. Should be a lot of fun.
I don't think that I can predict. This team has not. There has been zero change to their ebb and flow. They are flatlined at a high level. It's a high level flatline, meaning they don't get too high, they don't get too low. They are looking ahead. They are locked in. Cignetti is locked in. They've done a marvelous job. But I think that this team didn't even need to have someone lock them in after at certain point. They are, I don't want to say trained. They're just coached. They're well coached. They're coachable, and they are all on the same page. They know what the goal is. They know what it's going to take. They know that they have to have tunnel vision, which they've maintained. Nobody is looking ahead. No one has this bright eye stuff. They got their eye on the prize, Dylan.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. We heard a story yesterday from Riley Nowakowski, who he said that they had the TV on ESPN in the training room just the other day, and the TV came on, and they started talking about the championship game on the TV. And Nowakowski said, "I went over there and turned it off." He's like, "We don't need to hear any of that." He's like, but the joke that he made was at the beginning of the season, it's a lot more what they're saying about Indiana is a lot more positive now than it was at the beginning of the season, and a lot more people believing in us now. But that doesn't mean that we want to hear about it. You know what I mean? Positive or negative, they don't want to hear what people are saying about them, and that's kind of been the way they've approached it. Elijah Surratt talked about how he deleted social media off his phone. And so it is one of those things where it seems like that's kind of the buy-in from this team up and down the roster. Where they have, they know the goal, like you said, they know what it's going to take to get there. And like Aiden Fisher said yesterday, they have one week to give it everything they possibly have. And that's the goal for this team, is to prepare like it's the last game of the season, because it is it is the last game of the season. Regardless of what happens in the game, they can prepare like they're sprinting to the finish here. It's no longer a marathon. And they can do everything they have, throw it all into this game and see what happens.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask this yesterday but I asked something else. But there's no way to go in to this game and not knowing the magnitude. which I know not knowing is not the correct phrase. When I was competing in rodeo, I was at the national or at the United States Team Rope and Championships in Oklahoma City and the World Series finale in Las Vegas. I had to do the same thing. It's you can't get jacked up. You've got to stay level headed because you've got stuff to do. But there's no way I didn't know what the hell was at stake. I mean, I knew what was at stake. I knew where I was. You can't not know your environment. There was no way for me not to know I was in Oklahoma City at the USTRC National Finals. There was no way for me to not know I was in Las Vegas at the World Series finales. I knew, you know, and it raises it up a little bit, but it's your job to maintain a level within that. I think it still may be a heightened level, and maybe it needs to be a heightened level of sorts to give you maybe that extra something.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Fisher was saying, is that basically they know what this opportunity is, right? They have an opportunity that very few teams have to not only win a national championship, but to go undefeated, right? And basically what Fisher seems to say, at least in my opinion, was that can be an asset. If you harness it, right? It doesn't have to be a negative. It doesn't have to be, well, we're nervous now. It can be an asset if you harness it, because there's such an opportunity in front of you. It can make you work harder. It can make you say, look, give even more to what I have this week. Watch an extra bit of film, do an extra bit of preparation, even beyond what we've done this season. Because if you do, you're going to look back in 50 years on this particular moment and say, we did it, right? We did everything we possibly could, win or lose, to put ourselves in the best position to be successful. And so, and again, it is one of those things where it's the end of the season. It is the last game of the season. There's nothing you're saving yourself for. There's no pace yourself because it's a marathon at this point. No, this is it. And so that can be an asset. It can be something that makes you say, all right, go throw everything we have into this and know that if we do that, we're going to put ourselves in position to be successful, because that's what we've done all season, right? That is throwing ourselves into preparation has worked all year.
And as far as pressure, that's a word that can be used in a lot of different ways. And there's nothing to say that this team feels pressure. To be honest with you, I think that there's more of an onus on Miami because they're playing at home. They can play the underdog role all they want, but they're playing at home. So you're playing in front of your home people in your home city. If you get your ass beat for a national title at home, that's a spanking, baby.
Yeah, especially the way they do it, and they've done it all playoff, which is they have the alumni on the sideline, right? You got Michael Irvin out there. You got Ray Lewis out there.
The Rock will be there.
Like the alumni.
So we're gonna have the program. Rock and Michael Irvin and whoever. And over on the other side, we got Mark Cuban, Adewale Ogunjile. is that it?
Probably. Like maybe yeah. maybe Antoine Randall will make
it. No, appearance. Damn it! The Bears won. No,
that's right. He can't be there.
He can't be there. Had they lost, Antoine Randall more than likely would have been there on the sideline. I'm sure there will be some other IU notables. Luckily got to speak to both of them last week. I played a clip from Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban was unbelievably gracious with his time. Speaking to students, I saw him taking pictures with Red Steppers and band members. He was just embracing any and everything Indiana. Seriously, he was holding court with the guys from the IDS that were around him. I got some pictures of that meeting former players, Keyshawn from last year. I forget there was another former player from last year. Adewale Ogunjile had not met him. They met right there when I was down there on the sideline, and they had a talk, and I think Adewale thanked him, and for, you know, him being a part of the program. And someone posted something on Twitter. Some people are just idiots. First of all, people, GTS is a phrase I would like to say to so many different things. Google that, you know what. Don't post stupid stuff asking stupid questions. Google it. Find out the information, the real information. Don't go to Facebook. Google it and get it from a legit source. But this one dude asked Mark Cuban, hey, can you tell us what percentage of the football monies you give? And I'm like, that's an idiotic question, first of all. Secondly, Indiana is not doing this because of NIL. If you look and do the research a little bit, you would see Indiana was listed as the 9th out of the 12 CFP teams in NIL monies. This is about the transfer portal. And it's not about 5-star, 4-star transfer portal guys. It's just about older guys. It's about experienced guys. It's about production over potential. Indiana is not doing this with money. They're not buying it. And anybody that thinks that or suggests that is just, again, too dumb to do the research. It's right there in front of you. People, why do you think all of this stuff is listed out with Indiana having 7 4-stars, 0 5-stars versus 50 plus for everybody else? And then the cheating stuff. Well, that didn't come from anybody in the media. Again, stop taking stupid information from Facebook and running with it. Dylan, take over.
Yeah, no, I do think that especially the NIL, people are confused about that, right? Because, like, I think it is one of those things where Indiana has, they have the money to go get people, right? But they don't have money to, like, trump everyone and say, well, we just get anyone we want because we're Indiana. That's not how this is working, right?
To give you an example, Texas A&M spent 3 times, this is total roster cost. You can assume that every team has $17 million coming from the rev share to spend, so of the 20.5. Just assume 17, all right? Well, Texas A&M, on top of that, or included with that and included with Indiana's, was 3 times the roster cost as Indiana. That's the difference. That's a major, major difference, people.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that these guys, Indiana has guys on their roster that are making a significant amount of money, right? Like, and they should. They're very good players, right? But they are not. They weren't elite players when they first arrived at Indiana.
Leading the country and being the number one. You know, they don't have the highest paid players in the country.
No, they don't. Right. I think that is the key point, is that, yes, Indiana has money and they are putting it toward football in a way they have not in the past. That does not mean they bought a team vis-a-vis everyone else. Right. Like, everyone buys a team now. Your team makes money. So therefore you bought your team. But that doesn't But that's not different than anyone else, right? IU is doing the same thing as everyone else. They're just allocating their resources better. They're evaluating talent better than everyone else, right? I think it's fair to say that. Like, I think it's fair to say that Indiana has evaluated talent this year better than anyone else in the country. That doesn't mean they will every year going forward, but it seems like this coaching staff, I think it's fair to say, is very good at finding guys that it really likes and developing them. And I think you talked about the transfer portal, and it's interesting because, yes, the transfer portal is a huge reason that Indiana has found success, right? It's not really a huge reason that Kirk Cignetti has found success. Like, of the players on this roster, of the starters in the championship game for Indiana, I wrote a story on this the other day. Of the starters for Indiana in the championship game, 17 of them were recruited out of high school by either Tom Allen or Kirk Cignetti. 17 of the starters were recruited by out of high
school. Including Charlie Becker.
Including many of them, right? D'Angelo Pond, Charlie Becker. Not Lewis Moore. He was a JUCO.
Lewis Moore. Okay.
But no, but like D'Angelo Pond, right? Mikhail Kamara, Tyreek Tucker, Carter Smith, Charlie Becker, the entire linebacking corps, Aiden Fisher, Isaiah Jones, Elijah Hardy, right? Like 17 starters and 9 all Big Ten picks were recruited out of high school by either Tom Allen before he left IU or Kurt Cignetti. And then he brought a lot of the guys he recruited out of high school with him to Indiana. So this is not Indiana is just building an entirely portal roster. They built this roster out of transfers, many of whom Kurt Cignetti knew personally, and they will not be doing that going forward. That's Kurt Cignetti explained this on Monday. They took a lot of transfers that first offseason because they needed to. They took some transfers last offseason because they needed to. They took a few transfers this offseason because they needed to. And then you kind of wean yourself off by recruiting high schools over the time that you're there, right? They're going to take 20 to 23 high school guys every class, and they're going to take transfers to fill in holes that need to be patched, right? That's the way just about everyone does it. IU is really no different in that area either. But this team just happened to be filled with a lot of players that Kurt Cignetti recruited out of high school at James Madison or Tom Allen recruited when he was here. But that doesn't mean this team was built entirely through the transfer portal. And if you're hearing that, the people there are also misinformed, right? Like I've heard a lot of people like, well, we should just give up on high school recruiting because look at what Indiana is doing. And that is not the message to take away from what Indiana is doing. And if you try that, it will go poorly. Believe me.
That's because people do not pay attention and they just get their information in blips. And you cannot read headlines as the story. It drives me insane.
Yeah, I will say, though, I do encourage other teams to try building an entire roster out of the transfer portal. I think that would go really well. And I think that they should try it and see how it goes.
Yeah. And so it's a fine balance. There's no doubt. It's a balance that you have to maintain. But Steve Wiltfong, from On3, he's on with us all the time. Mentioned the possibility of Alberto Mendoza going into the portal. I would have never thought that, but something that it brought to mind quickly is I could see him going into the portal to go start somewhere next year for a season and then coming back to Indiana like a farm team, just so he could actually get starting reps. And I saw some people, a year under Kurt Cignetti, another year, blah, 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 blah. No, not sitting on the bench. It's not. I don't care who your coach is. If your ass is on the bench, you're not getting starting reps. You're not getting that starting experience. You're not getting the experience of having to see multiple defenses and disguises and changes and having to adapt to that and having to audible out. Just a myriad of things. There's the experience you get as a starter over the course of 12 games. No, you cannot mimic that by getting coached on the bench. I'm sorry, but I can see that now with how things are set up. Go away to Ohio or whomever, and get those starting reps for a year and then come back to Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that several players did that this past offseason, right? Like Lewis Moore came back and Khalil Benson came back. And IU got guys who had gone away for a year and then came back. Now, those guys didn't go just to start. They went because they thought they had a better opportunity. But then they realized, wow, IU is the better opportunity. And they came back and the staff welcomed them. And it turned out those are very important players for this team. So I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. I think Alberto Mendoza, frankly, has earned a chance to start, not necessarily at Indiana, because I think Josh Hoover right now is a better quarterback, but he has earned the chance to start somewhere. He played very well in backup minutes this year, and there's obvious talent there that I think some team, you said, maybe not even Ohio, maybe someone like low level.
I don't think Kurt Cignetti wants to lose him. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think
he does. But I wouldn't be surprised if Kurt Cignetti said, hey, why don't you transfer to someplace, go start. If let's find a place for where you could start and get your starting reps and then transfer back. I would not be surprised. I'm not saying that's happening, but I wouldn't be surprised because I think it would be a good move.
I think he could, like you said, you mentioned Ohio, like just kind of pulling that out of a hat. I think he could go higher than that. I think he could go low.
I just threw that.
Like you're talking about, yeah, something like that. Yeah, like I think he could go lower level power.
Cincinnati needs a quarterback, I think.
Sure, absolutely. So
and they have had success with former Indiana quarterbacks.
There you go. So I mean, I think he showed enough this year to be a low level or even mid level power conference starter, like a guy who can lead a team that is going to go to a bowl game in a power conference. So I would not be surprised if he did that. I think he's earned the opportunity. And I mean, again, you also make more money as a starter, right? Like just flat out, you make more money for a year as a starter. And then if you come back to Indiana as the starter, great. If not, then you're a multi year starter elsewhere. And you make a little bit more money because Alberto Mendoza is a very talented player. We don't know yet what his NFL future is. We'll have to see what happens when he does get a starting shot. And so we'll see. I do think that is not outside the realm of possibility at all, but he is a very talented player who showed a lot this year. But Indiana had a chance to go get a proven player in Josh Hoover. And that is something that Kurt Cignetti, he wasn't going to just take that opportunity and let it go past just because he had a guy in the room, right? Like that was, you bring in the best player you can and you start the best player you can. And Josh Hoover, I think probably right now is the best quarterback that Indiana is going to have on its roster in 2026, whether Alberto is there or not. But that doesn't mean Alberto's not a good player.
For the most yards of any returning quarterback in the country, Sam Leavitt or otherwise, with over 9,000 yards. So yeah. He's been getting something done. He's been down there at TCU playing in what I think is a really fun league to watch. I love the Big 12. I mean,
absolutely,
just fun stuff to watch. But he's one of those guys that also he's like Fernando. Fernando had a pretty good season the year before when he was at Cal. He threw for over 3,000 yards, but he got sacked 41 stinking times. Well, that's kind of hard. Can you imagine what he had done if he hadn't gotten, he wasn't spending all that time on his butt? You see, well, he won the damn Heisman. That's what happened when he had an offensive line that protected for him. So you got another guy in Josh Hoover who has that experience. He's got 3 years of starting experience, I think. So Alberto cannot compete with that. And that is what I'm talking about. And that's why I think it would be good for Alberto to transfer for a year and return. That's my take. And Dylan, that's my take.
Yeah, I think it would be good for him to get starting reps somewhere. I agree with you. I think it would be good for him to get starting reps somewhere. And he's absolutely earned the right to go get a shot. I don't think there would be any hard feelings at all within IU's program or within the fan base if he decided to go somewhere and he's a starter next season, because I think he's absolutely earned that right.
And got lots more coming up. Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette with us. For those of you up in Fort Wayne, you ought to be following your hardest working man in Fort Wayne sports. There's no damn doubt about that. Like I said, he travels to all these. And we'll see him down in Miami. When do you get in on Friday?
My flight gets in around 9:00 PM. It's a later flight.
Oh, so you're going to miss the team arrival then.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, but it was substantially cheaper to get in than it would have been to fly in at a normal time. So basically the only thing I really wanted to be there by Saturday morning. That was the goal, was to be there by Saturday morning to do the main availability with everybody. So I will be there.
Yeah, it's all the other stuff's pomp and circumstance. Pomp and circumstance, baby. Speaking of some pomp and circumstance, we got to take a quick break. We're back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle with you on this Wednesday. Thank you so much for being with us, especially all of our peeps right here in the hometown on 98.7 The Zone. You know to keep it locked where you got it. Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette with me right now. Dylan does a great job covering Indiana. He covers Purdue. He covers Notre Dame. Notre Dame. How about that? They wanted to moan and groan and complain and yada, yada, yada. We deserve to be in over Miami. Yeah, well, guess who? Look who made the champion. Look
that,
who
that wasn't, that, 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 that wasn't who game. That wasn't that, who the smarter Notre Dame fans were saying. The smarter Notre Dame fans were saying they Alabama. Deserved to be in over Alabama and Oklahoma, and they were right.
Now,
I told you this before the playoff. They deserve to be over Alabama and Oklahoma because they were the better team, and they were, and they did. And how good would that Rose Bowl have been if it were Indiana beating Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl, and the committee took that away because they saw the SEC logo and said nope SEC got it. Greg Sankey, you're the man. You get what you want all the time.
Has this postseason just? I know it's punched the SEC right in the face. I mean, this is four or five Mike Tyson punches to the face. I mean, this is like you have to stand there and let Mike Tyson punch you in the face like five times as hard as he can. That's what the SEC has taken. Yep. Boom. Just over. And they're battered and bloodied. And they've gotten no argument. They've got no legs to stand on. Ryan Clark, oh my God, he had me laughing so hard because he was on such a roll with he was saying it. I'm like, going, how can you even have this stuff scripted? It was so good. I'm like, you would think it would have to be scripted, but it's so good. And he was going so rapid fire. He was talking about the SEC. SEC used to be a show horse. Now they ain't got no legs, no shoes, unicorn, it's something else. He goes, what used to be a show horse ain't even a show pony. I mean, he was funny. But the SEC, but will next year, will we once again, though, see people rank these Texas? Arch Manning is already the favorite for the Heisman. Really? How? What the flip has he done? Not a damn thing. He has not done a damn thing over last year's weak-ass performance, but he's the Heisman favorite. No, there should be no favorites. Zero. You start at zero. You've done nothing. You're not a favorite to do anything. That's the problem. Yeah. Anybody that makes somebody a favorite when they've done zip, There's the issue. And that's why this is going to continue to be perpetuated. He's a Texas. Oh, well, that means if they've got the Heisman favorite, well, that makes Texas blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. Get off of that. And the Big Ten was Iowa. I love to use Iowa as an example. Iowa was so much better than so many big SEC teams. And thank gosh they got to play one that they were complaining about that should have been in the playoffs and beat them. Iowa, as I've said repeatedly, had four losses on the season. Four Big Ten, three Big Ten ranked teams. Iowa State at the beginning, who was ranked by a total of 15 points. What's 15 divided by four? Three and a half. So they lost by an average of just over a field goal to all these ranked teams. Yeah, it's SEC is a bunch of bunk is all it is. It's just a bunch of belief in what they used to be. And they're not what they used to be. They just aren't. That's why they got blitzed last year in bowl games. They got blitzed again. And this was the worst year ever. What's their final record?
In bowl games, I don't know. In the playoff,
those count as bowl games up until this one,
right? Like, and that's Texas A&M lost its only game. Oklahoma lost its only game. Alabama won one against another SEC team and then lost to Indiana.
Bowl game,
right? Yeah, like I'm talking about postseason, I guess, in general, right?
Yeah, well, that doesn't, yeah,
yeah.
Well, and, at one point, I saw that they were 2-7.
Yeah,
in non SEC matchups,
right?
And they were favored in seven of those nine games.
Yeah,
and that just again, they were favored because somebody thinks that they're good. They're not. Texas A&M go back and look at their schedule. Look at what they did. Everybody wants to talk about who people beat. Yeah, okay. Who did you lose to? Why do they always ignore? It depends on their argument, really, I guess. But yeah, it's the SEC, and part of it is because of ESPN. ESPN has too much power. There should not be one network carrying the entire CFP, because I remember from the beginning of the season, Kirk Herbstreit was just pumping up Mateer from Oklahoma as the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh my God, he's clearing away your Heisman winner. I'm like, let's just give him the trophy now. And not that he wasn't doing fine, but you can't talk about anything early on. Nobody's playing anybody usually. And wait till you get into the dog days, till you're playing these tough games. Again, that crap. They're pumping up. Do you think that they were going to start promoting Fernando Mendoza of the Big Ten? No. Why? Because they don't carry Big Ten games. So I just, it was so funny how the switch happened. And like, if you listened to their coverage of the, like the IU games, well, now all of a sudden, oh, they love IU. IU is the greatest story in the history of the world, and they're all about it. But not, it wasn't like that before.
No, the funniest one to me, and you mentioned it, is Texas, because Texas started out number one team in the country. Arch was the Heisman favorite. You talked about that. They went through this cycle where they lost to Ohio State. They weren't very good. They played a bunch of games that weren't very good. And then by the end of the season, they were okay. Not good enough for Arch to go to the NFL, but they were good enough that the cycle, the hype cycle, is going to start again. They were in that perfect, like, Goldilocks area, where the hype cycle going into next year for Texas is going to be the exact same as it was this year, even though they went 9-3. Very, very funny, because I'm not sure if you've seen, Texas is cleaning up in the transfer portal. They got the best receiver in the portal, they got the two best running backs, and they got the best linebacker. And so they're going all in next year to win the whole thing. It's kind of one of those last dance situations for Texas, where they're going to send a whole bunch of guys to the NFL after this.
My God, boys, it's time to open up the checkbook. Get them, sell your champion heifers and steers and bring all that money in here, dadgummit. Yep. We got to get a bring. That's, we got to pass the hat. Damn it. Yep. We're tired of being embarrassed. Them boys from Indiana, they're winning Indiana. I didn't know they played football. Holy cow. What do you think it's like amongst alums of Texas and Georgia and Alabama? Indiana is about to win the national championship with a roster full of guys that probably average, probably average three, maybe average. I bet you there's no way they could average three stars, probably.
No,
because they have so many twos, and there's ones and there's zeros with the three. So they would probably average above a 2.5, maybe.
Maybe.
I guarantee you it would be very tough, but I would guarantee you go back in the annals of the championships. There's no way. I don't know how far back you'd have to go. In the era of the ranking system, I would get close. You not even close.
No, I did the research on era. Before the Rose Bowl. I did the research on this. It's not even close. Like the of the number one seed in the playoff. I use the number one seed, obviously. Of the number one seeds in the playoff era, so the last 12 playoffs now. Indiana was 72nd in team talent this year, according to 24/7. The next lowest number one seed was 14th. The only teams in the playoff era that
when was that? You remember?
That was Michigan in 2023. Because Indiana, they had a whole bunch of guys who were 6th-year seniors. Essentially, it was COVID guys who came back for one more year. But then on top of that, of the teams that had made the playoffs, so that there's what 50 teams that have made the playoff over the last 12 years, or 60 teams that have made the playoff over the last 12 years, that only two of them have been ranked lower than Indiana. One of them was James Madison this year. And one of them was Boise State last year. Like Tulane this year was ahead of Indiana in terms of team talent, yep. Right? And so
Indiana, I don't think people really understand and grasp this, the incredible nature of this, because it is. And they're saying, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter, because what it means is rankings are not always 100% accurate. We all know that. But they're the majority of the time, it is relatively accurate that this particular person is a standout athlete or whatever it is and has more ability than your average person. So, and that's how it gets. Are there some inaccuracies? Sure. But on the whole, they're pretty accurate. And back in the day, before the transfer portal, they were locked in. So you had them. Once you got them, you had them.
Yeah. And I think the difference now is that Indiana was able to not only find guys who were undervalued, but then get guys who obviously had produced. Like Mendoza was a two-star, not even recruit, but one-and-a-half-star recruit, right? Like Indiana was able to get guys like that who were undervalued out of high school, produced, and then brought them in to a certain extent, right? Obviously, we talked about how many high school guys they have themselves. But they're like Elijah Hardy, zero-star recruit, right? It's a combination of talent evaluation in the transfer portal, talent evaluation out of high school, getting guys who are undervalued by the stars, and talent development when they get them in, right? Because that's the thing, is this team is, like, in terms of star ratings, this team is not particularly talented. But if you look on the field, this team is wildly talented. There are going to be a lot of guys from this Indiana team that play in the NFL. This is not a team full of upstarts. This is not a team full of little engines that could, right? Like these are really, really good players that Indiana has. And yes, they're very well coached. Yes, they are put in great spots by this coaching staff, but they are athletes on this team. Really darn good players. Elijah Surratt started at Division II. He is going to play in the NFL and probably be drafted on day two, if not day one. Right? They have good players on this team, really talented guys who for whatever reason were overlooked. And that is this coaching staff superpower, is talent evaluation. They've done a fantastic job at it.
Unbelievably and unbelievably accurate. Another thing, Curtis Rourke, the low quarterback from Ohio, where is he now? In the NFL, playing for the San Francisco 49ers. Fernando Mendoza, where is he going to be? In the NFL as most likely the number one pick with his Heisman Trophy. So Josh Hoover, pretty likely headed to the NFL after he'll probably throw for another three. He'll end his career with over 3,000 or 12,000 yards.
Yeah.
That's a career. He'll get drafted. In addition to an abundance of Indiana players off of this team this year, and that is going to carry a lot of weight. And we've already seen the recruiting the benefit. Bam, Indiana. I'm predicting right now, which is not a hard prediction. Indiana will land its first 5-star player, and I think it will be an Indiana kid. I'll just leave that as all, but appreciate you, my friend. Hope you, what's up next for you quickly? 20 seconds.
I will be in Miami this weekend. Really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. It's going to be an absolute blast down there for that title game. It should be it's a great opportunity for the media too. In addition to being a great opportunity for the players, great opportunity for the media to cover a really high level football team one more time. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. Maybe I'll see you at the media room that night. But Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle. Lots more coming up. K-Bro joins us later. He's a former IU beat writer, friend of ours. You know K-Bro. And a Miami grad. Look forward to getting his info. Kyle Neddenrip up next. Check out the high school scene right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio here on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the ride. Hope you're enjoying your week in between the Peach Bowl and the national finals, baby. Indiana is in it all. They are playing for all the marbles as they will take on the Miami Hurricanes in Miami, unfortunately. Kind of crazy how that worked out, but it is what it is. And let's see if they can get it done. I think that they can. I think that they will. And looking forward to it as they will do something that just hasn't been done. Kyle Nedrup joining us now from the Indy Star. How's everything going? I've got my football here, buddy. My championship CFP official Indiana logo, Adidas logo football. Boy, can you smell the leather on this, Kyle?
Yeah, it's like a commercial. Unbelievable.
I'm telling you. Well, it big game is who has these. They're actually selling these to Indiana Hoosier football fans. So I'll talk about more about that later. You're on the basketball trail right now at the high school. Is everything's kind of really heading into the heat of the season? Really, you're not that far away from playoffs of several 3-4 weeks, but it's not that far away.
No, it's once you get to, we're in the Marion County tournament week this week, so you know that kind of tells you it's roughly the midway point of the season. Probably, it depends on how far you make it, I guess, in the tournament if it's a midway point. But this is kind of a good check mark point. The county this week, the city next week is normally our schedule up here in Indianapolis, or mine anyway. And the county tournament's always fun. 16 teams, single elimination, so many good teams. Pike and Decatur Central's 12-1. They'll, or 11-1. They'll play Pike tonight, which should be an interesting game. But a lot of Lawrence Central, Ben Davis tonight. I mentioned the Pike game. There's a lot of Lawrence North is playing Roncalli. That should be a really interesting game as well. So the county's always fun. It's it ends up at Southport on Friday and Saturday, which is one of the best venues in the state. As people know, and that should be a lot of fun this weekend. The weather is normally, it's county weekend when the weather on the weekend is very sketchy. So I hope it's decent weather this week. But we're getting to the midway point, starting to find out what's what and the best teams out there. I've seen a lot of them now and still looking forward to seeing a few more.
I know Bloomington had just, was it last night or night before last, rather?
Monday.
The last time that they play as conference rivals again, because I remember back in the olden days, Bloomington North was in the Hoosier Hills Conference with my Highlanders and New Albany, Jeffersonville, all that. And then they left that after I was out of school and have been in the same conference, I guess, with the Terre Haute schools and Bloomington South. Where who's going where now?
Well, North's going to the Mid-State, and it's kind of yet to be seen what happens to Bloomington South. So that conference.
Why are they both leaving?
Why aren't they both?
Why are they both leaving?
Oh, Conference Indiana is sort of falling apart, I would say. Some teams have left, and the Mid-State had some openings because Greenwood left to go to a – Greenwood was sort of in a situation where they're not growing just because of where they're located. The Greenwood area is growing south of them, which they're kind of landlocked. So they still have, strong school and everything. It's just not a growing area. So they're going to a different conference to play with some smaller programs. And that opened up a spot for, they ended up taking Bloomington North not south just based on what they had open. But it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I don't know if, usually these dominoes fall and then more dominoes fall, just based on who leaves. And we've seen that many times with the kind of the conference setup here lately, with the MIC has changed, the some of our bigger conferences around here have changed a little bit, although the MIC is going back to what it was now. So
really, I was going to say, because I knew some of those teams that left, then they had problems and then you get into scheduling issues and having to schedule teams from out of state and all of that. And boy, it's when your schools like Bloomington North and South, boy, that's it for them. So they're going to be traveling a lot more.
Yeah. And, you know, in my opinion, the Mick, you know, kind of educated opinion, I'd say there were some hard feelings about the whole Mick situation, which led to, you know, schools not scheduling Carmel and Center Grove for a while. But, you know, I think it's good. It's going back to what it was. It's going to be the best for, you know, there are some things that are hard about the Mick that, you know, Carmel and Center Grove are a little bit different as far as their what sports they're good at in some areas, and the Mick is not as good. So there's a little, and that's part of the reason they were looking to get into the HCC. But hopefully that's all over. You know, that's been, what, 5 years, 5-6 years ago now. So, you know, they're going back next year. And honestly, for football, I think it's going to be good for both those schools to kind of get their schedule set. And then, you know, I think, yeah, just going to playing rivalry games is going to be better. So at any rate, but, you know, with them leaving, it did create, you know, in not only them, but some other conferences too changed, and it kind of creates that domino effect. But, you know, it's and it's always sort of changing. It's never going to be exactly set, you know, because the main thing that drives this is the way schools grow and some don't, you know, and it kind of creates the imbalance of power a little bit. So that's kind of what we're seeing now, especially in our area, where the demographics of where people live in the suburbs have just changed somewhat. So
What used to be the consolidation of schools way back, we saw, you know, there at one time there were, what's over 700 high schools in Indiana.
I think 800 and, something at one time.
Wow. And what are we now, 300 maybe total?
Right around 400 total, four, maybe 405 or something like that. But yeah, it's the Consolidation Act of 59 was the big, you know, that changed everything. You go back and look in the 60s and there were tons of consolidations back then. And then, you know, into the 70s and 80s a little bit too. But yeah, that was maybe the biggest change in how, you know, the basketball tournament eventually changing to go to class basketball. But, you know, that was, you know, I've written about that. It's kind of maybe a boring topic, but, you know, the School Consolidation Act is very interesting from 59. It changed the landscape of everything in Indiana.
Yeah, and it's just everything is always changing. As we see with college sports, there hasn't been that change at the high school level. Can you imagine if in high school you could move from school to school year to year with no inhibitions?
You can't? I mean, that's kind of
Oh, boy. How much fun would that be for the IHSAA?
Well, we're in that world a little bit, and there are some, you know, we had three, and there's more than this, but three fairly prominent football players transferred that semester, and I wrote about it the other, well, I guess it was last week, starting quarterback at Pike, top receiver, he went to Carmel, the best receiver at Franklin Central, switched schools, going to North Central. And there was one other one too. Oh, Burbuff receiver is going to Lawrence North. So, you know, it's happening out there. And those players under this first time transfer, they will be eligible to play because this is their first time next season. So, and they're you know, there have been some kids, girls and boys, who've transferred during the season in basketball this year, and you only have a 30-day sit out period. So, you know, you can basically be playing on one team during the season and maybe play against them in the sectional or something like that. So,
see, yeah, there's no way that should be allowed.
After the football story ran, hearing from a lot of coaches who are, you know, not happy about obviously losing kids, but I wonder in the grand scheme of this, if it's going to drive some good coaches out, just like, hey man, how am I supposed to build my program when people are poaching my kids? And that's kind of the accusation is like, hey, these kids aren't leaving on their own. They're being told to come here and they're being offered something to come here. So that's problematic, I would say. And I've heard those accusations before, and I'm not saying those three individuals are in particular I'm talking about are related to that, but there are some things out there that, that you know, sound like it's gone beyond. And I think the purpose of this is to create some school choice you know, offer that opportunity for kids who are in athletics to be eligible to play. That was, I think, the purpose of this. But as we see sometimes, there's unintended consequences to opening those doors, you know, and people take advantage of those situations. So, you know, we'll see. I don't feel like we're going to go back on this. I mean, I think it's just kind of having to deal with it. And I think it's up to the schools. If you feel like you're being cheated, or not even the school, but you feel like someone outside is cheating, you need to turn them in and kind of, you know, hold them accountable for what they're doing if you can. So I don't know. There's a lot of accusations out there, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't, you know, some of these transfers will be, you know, will be impactful and some won't, kind of like we've always have seen. You know, and maybe the schools who lose these kids sometimes maybe better off. You get another kid to have an opportunity. So there's a lot of different layers to it.
A lot of facets, a lot of ins and outs, as the big Lebowski would say, without question. And there always has been. But the NCAA, Indiana has long tried to hold a hard line against that stuff. But there's only so long you can go. I would hate to see now in at the collegiate level, though, it's balanced things, but I don't know that that's going to be what happens at the high school level. I think that could easily be used to create, pretty elite teams.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, like I said, there's, you know, kid leaves to go, and I'm not going to name schools. I'm just thinking out loud, you know.
Come on. What's the fun in that?
I was going to say an example, just, you know, but I'm not even going to say, you know, I don't want to say any school just so I, you know, but anyway, if a kid leaves to go somewhere, it does create opportunity for another kid at the school he left, to rise up and have an opportunity. It's kind of what you see in college. You know, that's kind of what, you know, you're talking about, but there's also money involved in college that, yep, you know, you're allowed, and that has kind of created a more even playing field. Now in high schools, you see these schools who are building, all of these, you know, huge weight rooms and new facilities, and that's partly to appeal to, you know, prospective student in a good way. Like, hey, we want you moving into our community. Look what we can offer. And I'm not saying that's not a bad thing necessarily. That's just kind of like you want that for your community, I think, in some aspects. But it also kind of creates like, hey, look at what we got over here. If you're a kid maybe who, you know, is at a school that's maybe not as good, or you want a better opportunity, and you can kind of be front facing, like, hey, look at what we got here that maybe can entice you. And again, that's not necessarily illegal or anything. It's just kind of, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak. So, you know, it is interesting to me. And that on its face is not anything that's recruiting or illegal or anything like that. But it is interesting that, you know, you pour this money into your facilities and weight rooms and things like that. And, you know, it can be enticing, definitely. And again, not saying that's a terrible thing. It just kind of shows where your priorities might be.
Yeah. And you mentioned Center Grove over there, you know, south of Indianapolis, not growing, which, you know, they had become kind of a power in basketball and football, but that seems like it's kind of pulled back now.
Well, Center Grove is growing. Greenwood, the high school.
Greenwood, okay. Greenwood.
Yeah, Greenwood's north of Center Grove, and it's kind of landlocked into, you know, everything is growing basically where Center Grove is. And it may be getting to a point where it's not growing as much, and you'll see, you know, some of the areas. Whiteland is definitely growing a lot. That's a school that I think is going to continue to that, and that I think could be a school that could get into the, you know, maybe get into the MIC or, you know, a similar type conference at some point, because they are definitely growing a lot down there. But yeah, I mean, it's you will see schools that have been good. You know, it's kind of the circle of life a little bit, where, you know, they'll get to a point where they stop growing or even get smaller. And we've seen that a little bit with the township schools in the suburbs, and especially that's showed up in football, where you have schools like, you know, Brownsburg winning back-to-back. You never would have thought that before in 6A. Westfield making it to the state finals like almost every year, it feels like now. You would have never thought that before. They were a 5A program even not that long ago. So that has, you know, that I think there's things that have happened that you wouldn't have expected maybe 10 years ago.
Kyle Nenrip from the Indy Star. Keep up with him because he is the guru when it comes to high school sports in the state of Indiana and has the coverage across the state as well. Appreciate you, my friend.
You bet. Next week, we'll be talking about IU national champions, I think.
Would that be something? I mean, it's just amazing. I've been there for the ride since last year. I've seen it all. And still, it started at the Rose Bowl a year ago when they beat UCLA. And I remember coming off of the field. I was behind Signetti. I was shooting the video. And there was the people that had been there. They were all down in that corner just cheering. He goes off, with the triumphant over his head. And I'm like, that's where it started. And it did. And this year at the Rose Bowl, 80% IU fans, Kyle. It was nuts. It was awesome, nuts.
Yeah. That UCLA game feels like it was 10 years ago. That feels like
forever. I'm telling you. You're right. You're certainly right. Make sure you're giving him a follow. He is the man. Appreciate you, brother.
You bet. Have a good one, Jim.
You as well. Kyle Nenrip from the Indy Star. He keeps you up to date with everything going on in high school action around this state. More coming up, including our man, Cabral. Can't wait. Former IU beat writer, Miami grad, all around fun guy. Honda of Bloomington, welcome back. Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Cabral is with us. You know him. You love him. You can't live without him. Mm. Oh, man. You love that, don't you?
No, I do not.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
ball, got the ball right here, Cabral, ready to throw it, baby. Action, Kevin, the former IU beat writer and a Miami grad. I would say he's got torn allegiances, but he doesn't. His allegiances are to the Hurricanes. I know.
If it was any other team in the country, Jim, I'd be pulling for Indiana. But let me tell you something. After watching them Friday night, they are a machine, and I think anyone that roots for Miami is legitimately concerned because that's a team that doesn't beat themselves. They create turnovers. They're just tough up. Mendoza is accurate. He can scramble. He can get out of trouble. There's just a lot there, and there's a reason. Like, I was on another podcast, and someone was trying to bring up, Indiana being rocky, knocking out Miami. Yeah, Indiana's 7.5-point favorite. I mean, they're –
Eight and a half now.
Yeah, this is not. And I know I heard you earlier in your show talking about the home crowd and stuff. But the allotment's 20,000 each way. I don't think it's going to be a home.
I agree with you. I think Indiana fans, they were 80% at the Rose Bowl and 95% in Atlanta at the Peach Bowl. Amazing. I think they get their hands on at least half of those other tickets.
No, I agree. And there was a lot of talk of, I have some friends that are Miami alums and I tried to get tickets, pre-sale face value. And there was a lot of talk about, maybe some, Indiana alums joining the Hurricane Club to try to get in on the pre-sale also. So who knows if they pirated some of those Miami seats, but it's interesting. Now it's going to be a great atmosphere down there. I'm sure, for both teams. And I think it's good. I was talking to someone else too. If Miami plays the way they did against Ole Miss, they're not going to win. They have to play like they did against Ohio State, which was, mistake-free, taking advantage of opportunities because Miami dropped about two or three picks in that Ole Miss game and had 10 penalties. And that's not going to cut it against the Hoosiers the way this team is.
Well, and that thing you mentioned right there, penalties. Miami, one of the most penalized teams in the country. Indiana, number four at not being penalized. I think Miami is like 116th or something. So that's a huge, huge difference. That's a lot of drive killers. That's a lot of drive movers for the other team. So, that stat alone is huge.
The officiating crew, it's going to be interesting because what worked in Miami's favor against Ohio State was let a lot of contact go, not a lot of penalties called in that game. And Miami didn't have their first penalty until the third quarter in that game. So that's a very subjective thing, as you know. I think it's a big reason why Miami never wins the ACC, too, because ACC officiating crews traditionally call everything. Look, Miami penalties for Miami has been going back 30 years ago. I covered that Cotton Bowl game when they had 230 yards of penalties. They were getting a 3rd-and-40 situation against Texas, and they throw a 50-yard bomb, and they were talented enough back then to overcome it. I think, you know, the margin for error is a lot smaller in college football. Look, they're going to have to play discipline, and they're going to have to get maybe the benefit of the doubt on some things whistle-wise. But, it's going to be a physical team, and the line of scrimmage, as you know, and certainly Indiana has a Formula One, too, but, you know, so does Miami, and that's going to be, you know, where everything starts in this game.
Absolutely, and not only that, Indiana, they've got to deal with that defensive line of Miami's. They're going to have to make some adjustments because got Reuben Bain Jr. and his bros are going to make their presence known. But I also think that Indiana's smart enough to know that, and they're going to make some adjustments to that. Their running game, though, if you're going to try to blitz Indiana, you're going to be screwed because Kalon Black and Roman Hemby are both a 1-2 Mike Tyson punch in your face. These guys run the ball hard. They run it successfully. And as we saw in the game against Oregon, man, they will cut loose at any time. And that just opens things up for Fernando to be so precise, surgeon-like precision with all of the multiple weapons he has. Elijah Surratt, Omar Cooper Jr., Riley Nowakowski, E.J. Williams Jr., Charlie Becker. I mean, he had 5 different guys he threw touchdown passes to in the last game. 5. That just jacks that whole team up.
Becker is really something, too. I like him a lot. Omar is a guy that it's a lot of fun watching him because I remembered covering him in a Lawrence North basketball game, and he played basketball like a football player back then. It's just so physical. But such a good athlete and, you know, one of those guys that Cignetti, you know, managed to keep in terms of, you know, was a 4-star receiver that had a chance to go to West Virginia, and they kept him in state. And Surratt, obviously, you know, they brought Cignetti brought him in. So, yeah, you've got guys that are, you know, obviously they're you know, really good targets. It's going to be a test for Miami secondary. I do think Heatherin and the Miami defensive coordinator has done a tremendous job all season. And they are prone sometimes with the run blitzes. They can give up a home run play. They did against Lacey, if you remember, early in that game.
Indiana's going to be counting on that.
So sometimes, you know, you don't want like a guy like Black to get into the second level, because I saw he did that against Oregon too, and pop off a big run. And that, I guess he didn't have another big run in the second half that was called back on kind of a questionable hold. And the Mercedes-Benz Stadium was booing for most of the second half because of that.
Every time that ref came up, it was a weak call. I'm like, are you kidding me? Come on, man.
Yeah.
And that's the thing for this game. Like, getting back to the officiating you were talking about, I think the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Controversial calls will be no calls. Because that happened in the second half of the Peach Bowl. Several no calls when Oregon had that long run, I forget his name, that you ran like 70 yards. There was a clear block in the back down at the end of that run that just simply wasn't called. The officials, I understand they're trying and they don't want to be a part of the story, but at the same time, the last play of the game in the Ole Miss Miami game.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest. That was pass interference. There's no doubt about it. A lot of times they're not going to call that.
That's what I mean, listen, Miami and Ole Miss, that was an interesting game too, because there was a questionable pass interference that led to an Ole Miss touchdown kind of late in the game. And then Miami got maybe a little bit of a benefit, although it was a legit call of that face mask call on the pass that helps sustain their drive. So I think a lot of it goes back and forth, you know, with regards to that. And, you know, the game is so much faster. I thought on the last play there was clutching and grabbing on both sides. So, and the pass was probably Yeah, and the pass was probably uncatchable. I think there was a little bit of loser's lament there with regards to that. And how about this, Jim? 3 years in a row, no SEC champion. How about that? SEC. SEC.
How about this, potentially?
Paul Feinbaum will still be saying, oh, well, it's still the toughest conference. And the teams are beat up. And the bottom of the Big Ten still isn't as good. You know, we're going to hear all that crap.
And you know, the truth is, the SEC is, I've been talking about this. It is such a facade. The SEC is a facade now. It is not what they keep saying. It is not better top to bottom. I'm sorry. If it was, then why did Vanderbilt, who was supposed to be in the playoffs, lose to a team that lost three times in the Big Ten alone and once other time to a ranked Iowa State?
Oh, but there's opt-outs and, you know, not like, yeah, like the other teams don't have opt-outs too, right? And don't have people that's kind of an SEC. Oh, well, you know, you can't judge a bowl because – it's like, yeah, the other team. Like, I was at a NC State bowl game I covered against the Tulane, and they lost their best running back, Hollywood Smothers, who's off to Texas right now. And what a great name, by the way, Hollywood Smothers. That belongs on the all-name team. But, yeah, no, it's like opt-outs don't happen in other conferences. They only happen in the SEC. It's like, come on, give me a break.
Well, I think that facade is crumbling. It really is. And even I saw – Paul Feinbaum acknowledged the SEC is not what it was. But you don't have a choice because it's not. That's like trying to say Rome is still Rome. It's not. Rome fell, baby. Rome has fallen. And so has the SEC. And they're getting beat by being out-coached. They're not being out-bought, which is what they were able to do for all those years and keep those players locked in. Now you can't keep them and you can't outbuy people.
Yep.
Texas got their bill. They're like, hey, we'll spend $5 million for Sorsby. $1 million of that was probably to go back to pay for his buyout, which,
You talk about the coaching, and I did bring that up in a recent column too, about 4 years ago, Florida could have hired Dan Lanning. They hired Billy Napier. 2 years ago, Mississippi State could have hired Cignetti. Indiana could get. So the coaching and the coaching hires has hurt this league too. You know, DeBoer takes over for Saban. I think Kalen has done, you know, certainly okay, but he's not Nick Saban and he doesn't fit there necessarily. Like,
I think that's a different fit. I think he should have taken the Michigan job. I think that would have been a really good fit for him. But now he's going to be in that in-between deal because he you're right. You can't follow Nick Saban. For one thing, that crowd is still living on that SEC of the old days, and it's not. It's just not that. I don't care who your coach is. It ain't that. They're going to have to – it has to be different.
Yeah, no question. And you're seeing it. I think the shift you're seeing in the SEC, too, is, you know, the bigger states, Texas A&M with the money, is starting to get the better players. And Georgia with Kirby. And you look at what Ole Miss did, too, tremendously creative under Kiffin. Now, that can they sustain that with Pete Golding, who did a heck of a job, and Trinidad Chambliss trying to get another year, too. That's something, you know, it's amazing. Florida played Oklahoma last night. You know who Oklahoma's leading scorer was? Nigel Pack, who's played high school basketball in 2019, 6 year guy. It's amazing.
Is he 30? Is he 30 yet?
Yeah. So I'm like thinking to myself, it's just kind of funny. And I think
How long have you been out of the IUB, off the IUB?
3 years, a little over three and a half.
Okay.
Years.
So, yeah. And when did you cover him in high school?
No, 2019. Yeah. So before COVID.
So 7 years ago.
Yes, but the COVID year. So Pac turns 25, I think, in May. You know what I mean? And I think I kind of joked. I said he's not collecting Social Security yet. It just seems that way.
Might as well be.
Listen, college sports used to be a rite of passage of pros. Now it's a career. You know, it's like it's amazing that, you know, these kids are sticking around for as long as they can because of the NIL money and the revenue share money. And You know, he's making probably more in Oklahoma, I would gather, than he would be playing overseas or playing in the G League. And he's 5'10", 6 foot. So, I mean, he's not going to be drafted in the NBA at his position.
Are we? Well, I've got to take a break, but no, I don't. Not yet. Are we finally seeing the end of these 30-year-old players, or are there more still in there?
I mean, you know, people are challenging. Now they're challenging the redshirt year. They want it to be 9 games instead of 4 games. So I think we're going to see
That's changed. That's another new rule now for people that don't know. Formerly, you could play up to 4 games in a season, and if you didn't play more, you could stop and redshirt and not have that season count. Now it's going to be moved up to 9 games. In essence,
well, it's after recommendation, it's not a rule yet, but it's being proposed. Yeah,
it's going to pass, which is ridiculous because that's just another way of them getting around being sued. But this is essence giving players a fifth year. You're changing the record books. You're doing everything, and another asterisk has to be put by anybody that breaks a record.
Listen, Indiana football is benefiting it, right? 6-year seniors, 5th-year seniors, 4th-year seniors. I mean, because Cignetti has built a team that's old and that's staying old, which is smart to do in this era right now.
But he also has a ton of guys that are on that team that were recruited. Charlie Becker is a recruit. Dylan Sin was just on me and listed a list of guys that were recruited to that program. So it's been a great mix. But the guys that came from James Madison, Cignetti recruited those guys, recruited them to James Madison. So those were actual recruit and development guys. So it's been a great mix of him bringing his recruited, developed guys and mixed with the right guys from the portal, experienced guys, production over potential. And, it's working because Indiana is not buying this team. They are of the 12 teams, they're 9th in roster cost. They're at the bottom, man. And Texas A&M's at the top. They spend 3 times as much. So, and they're still paying Jimbo Fisher on top of that. They got money for damn days.
It's an amazing coaching job, coaching and development. You can't take that away from Cignetti and what he's done. And a guy that's a coaching lifer who has found it, you know, in his 60s. It's inspiring. It's inspiring for you and me, Jim, right? You know what I mean? It just shows that, you know, if you keep plugging away, good things are going to happen later in your career.
I'm inspired. You inspire me.
I appreciate that.
You inspire me. You've got so it's kind of easy for you right now. You're in the off season, but recruiting portal, all that good business.
Yeah, we've got that, and you know I'm still helping out with basketball. Though we have a new basketball writer in Florida just went 3-0. Hey, let's pose this, because it's interesting. Did you see the Steve Alford clip when he was asked, "Is Indiana football?"
I did.
He said, "I don't know about that, but I'm pulling hard." But I did see, obviously, you know, they got kind of drubbed in East Lansing. They are 3-3 in the Big Ten, right? You know, 12-5 overall Indiana basketball. But is this football euphoria, is this giving DeVries a little bit of a honeymoon because everyone is so euphoric about football that they're not even really focusing on
it? You can already tell he's going to get this year regardless. They don't have the horses. Why they were not able to get all of the horses, that is a question I would still like to know more about. Why were they not able to get a dominant guy down low? Why? Was it money? What's the reason? Because, Cignetti, what they're doing, I know it's apples and oranges, but it's still, they're doing it without the high money guys. So, you know, that's what I'd like to know. But next year, this is no longer a 3-4 year deal. But although I say that, but then you have Fred Hoiberg at Nebraska, who now in his 6th or 7th season at Nebraska, it has been a very, very slow rise, and it started before COVID, or right about COVID, when he was out there coughing on the court, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you know, now they're freaking undefeated in the Big Ten right now, and the Big Ten is unbelievably tough. So I don't know. It's a mind-boggling thing.
The Big Ten and the Big 12 are bears. The SEC is not as strong as it was last year. But, you know, Vanderbilt's doing really well, and Byington was a guy, remember, that Indiana was talking about a little bit, and he's done a heck of a job with the Commodores, and Florida plays them in Nashville this weekend. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting for sure. And by the way, you know, who's playing pretty well down in Miami is Malik Renew, is playing very well down there. And they're 15-2 under Jay Lucas. So it's interesting, but, you know, I would say, you know, give DeVries some time. It does seem like that he's, I think, you know, compared to what they had under Archie and under Mike Woodson, I still think that he's a guy that has the best chance of those three to build sustainable success if you stick with him. I do like some of what he's doing there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, if he had the players, this would be, I mean, they were up 16 on Nebraska. Couldn't hold it. They were up on Kentucky at Kentucky. Couldn't hold it in the second half. Yeah. They have ability. They're not deep at all. One of your top bench players is a freshman, I'm not knocking Trent Sisley. He's doing fine, but you need more. And that's just the difference. They don't have it this year. I think that they're probably going to slip into the NCAA tournament. They're going to be one of those. They're going to be a bubble team all season. They're going to have to find a way to pull off some road wins. You know, they played well against Michigan State last night, had a lead again. And it was tied at 53, and I think they let Michigan State go on a 20-point run, but 28-7. I mean, how do you tie with a team? Well, I'll tell you exactly. That happened in reverse when Indiana had lost like 12 games in a row up there. I think that's when that happened, I know that happened in the Michigan game too, but who knows? But they've had that happen multiple times. The start of the Louisville game, they let Louisville jump out to a 16-0 lead. Damn it! I'm going to call every freaking timeout I have if I'm Darren DeVries and a team scores 6 or 8 on me. Boom! Stop it right now. Yeah. You got to stop it right now. And if it goes 4 more points, I'm stopping it again. But they have just. Yeah, that's been a bad situation for him. But what are you going to do? Hey, let's take a break. We'll come back. We're with the great K-Bro, Kevin Brockway, currently with the Gainesville Sun, formerly of CNHI up here and on the IU beat, now covering the Gators in the SEC. But he is a Miami grad. We're going to talk about the national championship and more. And Miami, some fun things to do and just all about the fun things of a national championship. Glad you're with us. Back with plenty more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. On this Wednesday, we are midway of championship week, the college football playoff national championship happening down in Miami at Miami Gardens, home of the Miami Hurricanes, which I don't think is going to matter, K-Bro. I think Indiana fans are going to make their presence known like they have throughout these playoffs. And they have shown up, shown out, and loved every minute of it. Boy, stadium expansion in Indiana is going to have to get fast-tracked. The first thing I hope they do is bring in a wrecking ball, and I wish they would let each one of us take a turn and take it a big old swipe at that press box and knocking that damn thing off its perch.
That rickety press box, right? You know, we were still, we would call it, that's really something. But yeah, no, it should be fun, Jim. I guess you get in, what, Friday night, right?
I get in Friday afternoon. The team arrives at 8, so we'll be there for that. But first availabilities are the next day.
Yeah, media hotel is what, the JW Marriott? You're going to be there?
Yeah. Not staying there, but right like a block away.
Okay, good, good.
They have multiple ones. And you know why? I'll tell you exactly why they have multiple media hotels. Because they don't want one of those nice hotels having to, because we get a media rate, which is better than the average Joe off the street. Sorry about that. But they don't want to fill, they want to spread that out amongst other hotels. So they're not taking the entire hit, so to speak. I thought about that. I'm like, those dirty dogs, spread this out. But yeah, that's how that's going to be. But looking forward to covering this. I've never covered a national championship. I know you have multiple times on both sides, probably football as well.
Football, I did 08. I did the BCS championship, which was in Miami. It was Florida versus Oklahoma. And we stayed in Fort Lauderdale Beach. That's why I was asking about that at the Marriott there.
The stadium is closer to Fort Lauderdale. I'm flying into Fort Lauderdale, but hotel's exactly in Miami. I wish I was flying into Miami, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. But it's... it's quite the experience. You know, I think the media shuttles, you're going to get a nice police escort, which is good. So they'll get you to the stadium on time. And it's going to be, it's tremendous, a tremendous atmosphere. Certainly it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for Indiana to put themselves, you know, continue to put themselves on the map. This program's already kind of put itself on the map, but to cap the season with a national championship, and it'd be the third straight for the Big Ten, I think would be everything. And it's amazing what Kurt Cignetti has done. But you'll enjoy the city. You'll enjoy, hopefully, the weather will be good. I think there's a lot to do in that downtown Miami area where you guys are going to have a good time.
Yeah, and this would be really special. I mean, just winning it would be special. But Indiana would become the first 16-0 national champion. Yale went 16-0 back in 1893 or something stupid, but that doesn't count. But they would become the first 16-0 national champion, K-Bro, in the 50th anniversary of Indiana basketball's 32-0 national championship. So that just adds to the mystique of this. What a unique thing to have at a school. And so Indiana fans are just, they're going to be beaming with pride.
Yeah, no question. That happens. I'm looking back at Bo McMillan. Did they win a national championship under him, or was it just a Big Ten championship?
No national championship.
They were an undefeated team in 1945, right?
Yeah. They undefeated one Big Ten. That's when they had George Taliaferro and Ted Klazuski. He went on to play for the Reds on that team. And I've talked about. Have you seen the picture that's in the bar that's called the Alley Bar in Bloomington? They've got this gigantic 4 foot tall by 10 feet at least long photo of just a solid core of those guys, and it just, they look like they're men, like they're 30-year-old men, and I'm like, holy cow. But yeah, it's that was cool. But then
9-0
for then they tied for the Big Ten title in 67
and they called it the Big Bowl. Nine back then. They were the Big Nine. How about that?
I forget who joined to made it 10.
I don't
know who joined to make it 10, but
that's some wild.
Now they're up to 18.
The big 18. Yeah, the big 18.
The big ragu.
But what Kurt Cignetti has done, there's no historical precedent to this at all, right? So this is unbelievable. I think that certainly Jim, listen, Miami, you know, they've had the five national championships in the past, but I do think that it's going to be a tall task for the Hurricanes. Carson Beck is going to have to play a mistake-free game. He did have one pick in that game against Ole Miss, and establishing the run is going to be the key with Fletcher And you mentioned before, you know, Ruben Bain and Akeem Mesidor was hurt late in that Ole Miss game. He's going to be, looks like he's going to be coming back for the Indiana game. Or those are the two big pass rushers you're going to need to contend with. I thought Ole Miss did a pretty good job on Bain, who, you know, totally tore up Texas A&M and Ohio State in the first two games. But Bain is another key, too. You've got to neutralize Ruben Bain if you're Indiana in order to have a shot, because he's a guy that can I remembered watching him from the stands, you know, as a true freshman when he played against Clemson a couple of years ago. And that was the first time he came on my radar as a guy that just is, you know, as far as a pass rusher is concerned, is just an impact guy.
Well, you know, Bob Bostad, Indiana's offensive line coach, has done a phenomenal job. We saw it the minute he got to Indiana, the turnaround that he made, because they were so poor on the offensive line at that time. And when that change was made and Tom Allen was able to get him in, you could see dividends early. And now that has gotten to be even more so with the talent that they have. And they're healthy, K-Bro. They are healthy, bro. And so it's going to be a fun game. You're heading down. You're going to get to hang out as a fan. How much fun is that? We got 1 minute left.
Yeah, no, I'm going to see some old fraternity brothers and my brother, who is a grad student at Miami. We're going to go down there, and it's going to be tremendous, Jim. It's just been, listen, Miami's been in the wilderness for about 20 years, too. I mean, their last national championship was 2001, and then y'all remember the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah, well, Indiana's was back in 18. Yeah, they don't have one.
So those people bellyaching about the PI call, that's kind of, we'll just call it a makeup for the Fiesta Bowl.
What's your pick? What's your pick? Pick for the game. You got 10 seconds.
I'll say Indiana 21, Miami 17.
Oh, close game. Clyde Dane. Good deal. Okay, bro, I can't thank you enough. Maybe we'll see you Monday if we can work it out. The game day.
Keep me posted. You know, maybe I can stop by the media hotel. We'll see.
Appreciate you, buddy. Kevin Brockway joining us. Big thanks to Dylan Sind, Kyle Nedrip as well. Most importantly, each and every one of you. We're back tomorrow to do it again as we're heading towards the national championship game. I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio. Stay tuned for class.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.